Welcome to listeners to Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, the Car program on Trade Islam International. Talking about cars, dear listeners, yes, I read some news reports regarding the sales of vehicles. What is happening regarding the economy in South Africa? The new vehicle market continues to see declines, year on year in all segments. This is according to NAMSA, the National Association of Automobile Manufacturers of South Africa. So what they say is the association reports a total industry sales figure of 48,745 new cars sold in October 2016, a decline of 5,500 cars, or maybe 10.1%, minus 10.1% compared to the 54,500 cars sold in the same month in 2015. So regarding this, we find that. But nevertheless, that the Volkswagen Polo, the Vivo, continue to dominate. The new car sales start with a whopping 2,701 units, finding new owners in South Africa, and the bigger Polo was the only other car to have sold more than 2,000 units. Anyway, the top-selling vehicle sales in South Africa, Ranger, Polo are leading the way, and Toyota Corolla, the Auris and the Quest saw 1,968 units in Seoul, followed closely by the Ford Fiesta on 1856, and I think the Nissan X-Trail 541 made a surprise appearance in 10th place, though was outsold by the Toyota Fortuner. Toyota Fortuner, that is a lovely, lovely car to drive, lovely bucket to drive. And also, dear listeners, we find that Ranger actually trumps Hilux. And, this regarding the new sales, the new Bucky sales for October, yes, many people are preferring that car. The Ford Ranger has outsold the Hilux in October 2016, according to the sales figures released by NAMSA. So this is what is happening on the market, dear listeners. Anyway, let's welcome our guest on the program, Abdul Haq Qatrala, who is somewhere in the eastern Zanzibar. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khair, and Mawlana, once again. Alhamdulillah, it is a fantastic evening. I'm sitting outside here looking at the stars up on the mountain. Alhamdulillah, very, very beautiful. The weather is lovely. We had some good rain this afternoon. Alhamdulillah, the mercy of Allah had come down. So, alhamdulillah, it's just getting everything off my head at the moment.
Where are you, my brother? Honeymooning or sightseeing? Just where are you? What are you doing?
Morana, you know my passion, Morana. But anyways, I'm just going to do a bit of sightseeing, and obviously I just need to do a bit of game hopping here. We believe there's some good bass fishing around the area. So we're going to try a couple of dams out, inshallah. And, that is what the plan is. Allahu alam.
All right. Abdul Haq, I think you're too close to the stars, my brother. The reception is not too clear. Come a little bit down. Let's get a better reception. Try again, inshallah.
Okay. Just tell me when you can hear me better.
It's slightly better, inshallah. We'll give it a go. Mm-hmm. All right, dear listeners, your phone in program. Give us a call. The number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855 and 0825-8080-70. 0825-8080-70. We're waiting for the calls and the SMSs to come through. Abdul Haq, let's take our first question. The brother is asking regarding the motor mounts, the engine mounts. What are the symptoms of bad engine mounts? And say, for instance, if one or two of them have to break, what can happen to the car?
Frequent question that we get regarding the breaking of the engine mountings. Morana, look, something. it can be a bit of a scary issue, but fortunately, the engine cannot fall out of the vehicle. Alhamdulillah, because most of them, what they do have is, we call it a cradle under the engine, which the mountings are put on, and that's part of the chassis that is there. So, it won't fall out. But yes, what you can have is a bit of smack from your gearbox or from your engine on one side, and with the result, yes, it can do some damage to the engine. But the symptoms generally for the engine mountings come from what we would refer to as vibrations, especially, like, for example, if you look at an automatic vehicle. When you get into the vehicle, you sit into the driver's seat, you start the vehicle up, and you might not feel it as much, depending obviously on the amount of wear and tear on the mountings. But the minute you put your foot on the brake and put it in drive, you can actually feel that vibration. It can almost feel like a misfire as well. And that is a symptom of engine mountings starting to pack up. But remember something, you have what we call engine mountings and gearbox mountings as well. So obviously if the gearbox mounting also packs up, we were talking about earlier on, you're talking about VW. When they do pack up, sometimes you'll find that the actual gearbox can lay down, and you know, sometimes yes, it does affect the CV joints and things like that. So yeah, it is something you can pick up. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a super technician or something like that. But yes, you will feel the vibration in the vehicle, and I would suggest you have a look at it rather urgently, simply because what happens is if the engine some plays on the protection plate or something for too long, you could end up damaging something like that, but not necessarily, yes.
Right, Jazakumullah. The SMS coming through, Abdul Haq, the brother says he was told by the mechanic that his car has got to go for an EGR check. What is an EGR?
Exhaust gas recirculation valve. That is what we refer to as the EGR. What happens is the EGR actually picks up the unburnt fuel, which is then sent back into the system via the inlet manifold with the EGR valve. That is unburnt fuel that is then put through into the inlet manifold again and burnt out. This is basically, this was developed more for, I would say, you know, the environmental, is environmentally friendly, as well as to reduce consumption on vehicles, because they have picked up that a lot of times, depending on conditions and the age of the vehicle and things like that, you would get unburnt fuel going through the system, and they wanted to maximize to have, you know, you use all your fuel up as much as possible.
It's lovely. The brother says he's got a diesel car, diesel buggy, but he's got a bad piston here. What could have been the cause of the bad piston, Abdul Haq? What's the probable causes of diesel piston damage?
Gee, Manana, there's a few possible causes, but when it comes to the main culprit, as far as damaging pistons are concerned, is more than likely the vehicle has overheated, and what we end up with something that's called piston slip, where your piston actually does hit on the sides of the block. You actually hear it, but it's something that needs rather urgent, very very urgent attention. The other thing that could cause damage to pistons is obviously your lubrication levels as well. If the lubrication in the vehicle is not sufficient, you can obviously cause damage to the pistons. And yeah, as I said, the main culprit normally on those things is overheating of the vehicle, lack of water, and continuous driving thereafter. It takes a fair amount of overheating on a vehicle to be able to get something like that, a result like that. But then the other thing is, if the vehicle has a fair amount of mileage, or rather say high mileage, then you are going to give that much easier, because there is some sort of wear and tear on the thing, and you're now just adding additional pressure onto the whole system. And with the results, you are having something what they call a piston slip, and that is what a bad piston is really. The other thing what a bad piston could do as well is, when your vehicle overheats, you'll find that it actually scratches the side of the bore where the piston runs in, and it creates deep scratches in the piston, and with the results, you cannot use those pistons thereafter. My suggestion would be, to do it the proper way, is to replace all the pistons, not just the one that has been faulty.
Okay, Jazakumullah, lovely. We continue. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. SMS numbers, 0825-8080-70, and alternately 48855. Also remind the citizens, water shortage in through Johannesburg area due to very low levels and high consumption. So message from our side, inshallah, citizens, spare water, every drop counts. Let's reduce the consumption immediately, inshallah. Let's value this great ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala send us beneficial rain. Allah اسقنا غيثا مغيثا هنيئا مريئا مريعا نافعا غير ضار عاجلا غير آجل اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانتين اللهم صيبا نافعا. Alright, we continue.
Just to give one sort of point on the water saving thing, a lot of people I've been speaking to over the last couple of weeks regarding water, and the most annoying thing, obviously, as well as the culprit that uses a lot of water, is when people do tend to brush their teeth, they leave the tap running. So, that's one way of saving a bit of water. When you're brushing your teeth, make sure the tap is closed, the water is not running, because sometimes you could be brushing your teeth for 3 to 5 minutes, and imagine how much water is running away.
Mm. Yeah, we had a discussion this afternoon as well regarding, you know, yesterday afternoon, talking about saving water. Inshallah, whatever we can, listeners, in our own ways, let's save water, utilize it properly, inshallah. Make qadr of this great ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, if we're going to show gratitude to Almighty Allah, show thanks to Almighty Allah, la in shakartum nazeeranakum, Allah Pak will increase His bounties upon us. Ameen. Abdul Haq, with regards to dirty fuel injectors, we know clean fuel injectors are a must for peak engine performances, fuel economy, and also emissions. Now, what happens, we know, if the injectors are dirty and can't deliver their normal dose of fuel, economy and the emissions are all going to suffer. So, regarding this, Abdul Haq, if somebody's got a problem with the injectors, how can one sort it out? Do you have to take on the injectors or just put something in the petrol just so as to clean the injectors?
It obviously depends on the level of the dirt within the vehicle. Obviously, you know, it's not something that you're going to be able to do yourself either. So, you know, what I always suggested, and I've been giving this tip to a lot of people for many years, and I got this little secret from a guy who used to work for one of the petroleum companies, and he said to me the most simple way to do it on to keep your injectors in peak performance as far as the petrol vehicle is concerned is if, for example, you're going to drive down to Durban or something like that, you're going to take a long trip, you first put in 1 liter of diesel, 1 liter, Monana, I repeat, 1 liter of diesel in the fuel tank. Thereafter, you fill it up with petrol. You make it completely full, and you go down to Durban, or you take your long trip, whatever, and alhamdulillah, that helps in many ways, because diesel is just not something that will evaporate. It has some sort of oil property in it as well, which assists in lubricating the fuel system. Believe you me, that makes a very, very big difference as far as that is concerned. That is one thing. But when your injectors are really faulty or dirty, there's no such thing as leaving it in the vehicle and just adding something, an additive in there. If they're really dirty, you have to have them removed and sent into the expert. You get many guys, for example, there's companies out there, you know, you've got Diesel Electric and all these other guys. They are able to service your injectors and clean them and recondition them, then most definitely it does work out a lot cheaper to send them into these guys, have them repaired, reconditioned, and fitted back into the vehicle. Because as you mentioned earlier, it's very important to have good, clean injectors that are doing very, very well. You know, I recall quite clearly on the old system, on the Mercedes-Benz, they had a mechanical fuel injection system. And, you know, we had what we call dripping injectors where the spring pattern of the injector itself was not atomizing the fuel correctly. And we used to have a problem with the fuel dripping onto the piston, and eventually it would make a little hole in the piston, and then you had to do an engine recondition. So, yes, I don't suppose it's so much more common in today's vehicles, but I suggest if the injector is not performing well, get them all out, get them all cleaned up, get them all serviced up, and undertake them, inshallah, they should hold for a long time again.
Jazakum Allah for that. Abdul Haq, on the cylinders, you know, on the injectors being clogged, well, are we correct in saying that the 2 and 3 injectors are in the hottest location and tend to clog up faster? So the hotter the location, the more vulnerable the injector is to clogging from the heat soak.
See, most definitely, Mona, that is rather common. But obviously also it depends on the type of vehicle you are driving, where the thing is situated. You know, for example, if you look at, let's just take one of those, the more simple vehicles, like your Toyota Corolla, the 4FE engine,
yeah.
1500, the 1600, you know, the very, very old, not the 4FE, it was the 4AGE engine, where your spark plugs were in from the side of the engine, and you find that they put a heat shield to protect the suppressors. Otherwise, the suppressors will get overheated with the exhaust system, and you will have breakage in the system. So, yes, most definitely, the problems nowadays have become much less, simply because they have picked up these sort of issues, and with the result, they're now placing them in more strategic points, so you have something more even in the whole system. So you won't get simply only those 2 that are packing up or are going to give you a hassle. It's something that over the years I think they have picked up, and they are working on the system to try and, like I said, strategically place the injectors so then you don't have the sort of problem. But yes, you are more than right when you say that there are certain injectors which are more exposed to the you know, the heat part of it. They will obviously get more heat on them, and with the result, yes, they will pack up on you rather quicker than the other lot.
JazakAllah. Abdulhaq, the brother wants to know regarding the spark. He's got some, his spark plugs are knocking. He wants information regarding, it seems as though his sparks are knocking. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I'm just curious on his term that he's using as far as the spark is knocking.
Not possibly a batting knock.
You know, the other spark knock, what does happen, maybe he's referring to something that I'm going to explain, is when your suppressor has a crack in it or a slight hole in the insulation or something like that, and you get your spark jumping against the side of the cylinder head, and you're tending to lose spark on that particular cylinder, or you are getting spark but not sufficient spark. You know, the other thing is what happens is back in the day, what we used to do is to check which cylinder is actually knocking. What we would do is remove the suppressor on that particular cylinder, remove one by one from each cylinder, and you will now notice that because there is no spark in that particular cylinder to ignite the air fuel mixture, you will find that the noise is a lot less because there is less pressure on that piston or on that bearings, on that conrod. And with the result, that is how we would determine more or less which cylinder was knocking. So maybe referring to something in that test light, in that way that we, how we test it in that light, or maybe, as I said, he's referring to where the spark is, that he's losing his spark, but it's jumping between, between the cylinder and the suppressor itself, and that may be due to a bad suppressor over the spark plug.
Abdulhaq, talking about used tires, yes, it can save one quite a bit of money if one needs a cheap set of tires and can't afford to buy new tires. But are these tires worth the risk?
Malana, in some instances, as you say, you know, the guys can't afford it or something like that. Rather have a second-hand tire than a totally worn tire. But I would suggest, you know, before buying something like that, have a very, very close look at it for cracks and things like that. Because what happens is sometimes these tires have been laying around for a long time and have been, due to weather, have perished to a certain point where the rubber is now starting to show signs of cracks and things like that. Obviously, the threat pattern you've got to look at and everything else. Like you say, you know, it's because of affordability, due to desperation, somebody's going to do it. Then I would say take a very, very important, take precaution, have a look at the tire properly, get the guy put it on, make sure the air is staying in and things like that. But for example, I was inquiring for somebody, tires, for second-hand tires. There were 16 tires, and he said to me, "But you know, the guy is charging me $800 for a second-hand tire, and a new tire is R960. So it's $800 a tire. For $150, I think we can squeeze a little bit here and there and put in a new tire."
All right, JazakAllah. Let's continue. The question for Telstar Abdulhaq, his engine is cranking quite slowly. He wants to know what can be the problem.
Ford Telstar, first of all, it's rather
old ones.
Yeah, and I think with the very few that we're having running around, maybe you should just park it in the garage and polish it and leave it as a collector's item. But nonetheless, yes, if the engine is cranking very, very slowly, you first of all, you've got to look at your battery. If the battery has enough power in it, then obviously it should crank quite okay. If you have lack of power in the battery, then yes, it will affect the actual turning of the motor, because what happens is the starter motor is not getting sufficient power to turn the engine quick enough. Then problem number two could be, possibility, is the starter motor itself. If the starter motor itself is seizing up as well, you can have something that would hold you back, or rather not allow the engine to turn that freely, and you could battle starting the vehicle up like that. And then problem number three is what we refer to a semi-seizure of the engine itself. You know, if perchance you've overheated the vehicle or something like that, and in a semi-seizure, your bearings on the crankshaft are actually biting a little tight. onto the conrods or the main bearings, or even in your big end bearings or your small small end bushes or something like that, you could be having some sort of friction, additional friction, and with the result, due to that friction, the engine is not allowing or the engine is not turning freely, and that is why it is dragging to turn. So these are the three possible causes that he could look at.
But a question here, the engine is not making any unusual noises, seems to be running quite normally. The oil level on the dipstick is quite full also, but you're still getting a bit of a low pressure warning light or the low gauge reading. What could be the fault?
As far as the oil pressure is concerned.
Yeah.
Oh yes, no. Look, you're not going to problem because due to a mechanical fault, you might not have an engine management light or something like that coming on. But what I would suggest there is, first of all, you get a little gauge that measures oil pressure. You do it at the oil switch where the oil switch is situated. You plug in the oil pressure gauge in there and take it from there. And otherwise. What normally happens, and I've picked this up in the last couple of weeks now, that I'm having quite a few of these vehicles where, due to lack of servicing or poor oil quality, people are actually skipping services and things like that. And with the result, we're having the oil strainer in the engine pump is collecting this grime and it's becoming like a grease, and that is not allowing your oil to circulate properly. It's like we call it low blood pressure, kind of thing. I would suggest that do an engine flush first. Buy the engine flush, pour it into the, you'll get your instructions on the container itself how to use this product. Put the product in, run the vehicle as per instructions, do an oil change. If that doesn't improve your oil pressure, then you would remove the sump, have a look at the sump. If your strainer is blocked, the other day I found a very, very easy way to clean that strainer is, once the strainer is out completely, it's a little netting with a little pipe on it that actually picks up all the oil from the sump. If it has any plastic components on it, if you can't remove the plastic components, then you would do that. And just pour a little petrol over it and light it up. It won't explode. Obviously, you've got to do it in a ventilated area. And that burns out all the muck that is within the strainer. They call it the strainer, within the strainer. And you can hope for the best there. Otherwise, the next option is you have what we call the oil pump itself. Oil pumps in most vehicles nowadays are becoming very, very, very expensive. In fact, I queried one for an Audi 2 weeks ago, and the oil pump on the Audi was 31,000 rand, Mona. Oil pump on the Audi was 31,000 rand. That is rather shocking. So, just have a look at your oil pump, your oil strainer. But more importantly, as I said, do a oil change first on the vehicle.
All right, jazakumullah. Alright, we're taking a short break, inshallah, may we come back, we continue. Stay tuned. SubhanAllah, yes, you listen. It's the oneness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got to appreciate Allah's ni'mats upon us. You know, throughout life, we all continually receive Allah's ni'mats, Allah's blessings, whether it's good health, sight, hearing, nourishment, alhamdulillah, clean air, children, wealth, and countless other ni'mats of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you listen, showing gratitude to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we fulfill and carry out the commandments of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in our lives. When Alim says, SubhanAllah, he says that, you know what, ensure the people who receive more of the favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and Allah's mercy are those who have not acknowledged the ni'mats of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use them in such a way which please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and use and spend the health and the wealth in sadaqah, in charity for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant them much more. I came across a very interesting saying today, SubhanAllah, regarding Sufyan rahmatullah alayhi, says, look at the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He says, I don't even wish for my parents to take my hisab in account on the day of Qiyamah, simply because I know that Allah is more kind than them. SubhanAllah, yes. Regarding the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, more than a mother's mercy to the child, Allah is 70 times. Allah shows 70 times more mercy and much, much more than what a mother shows to a child. Allah give us all the understanding. Ameen. Alright, let's continue, Genesis. We continue with the Revit of Car program. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The SMS number, 011-854-1548 is the number to call. SMS numbers 48855 and 0825 8080 70. Abdul Hakma, brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Are you there?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Ji Mawlana, I'm still here. I'm looking at the beautiful sky. Alhamdulillah. Praise to Allah. Praise be to Allah. You know, the moon beautiful, the stars. Earlier when we had such a storm, I thought I'd never see any stars here this evening, but alhamdulillah, it's beautiful, Mawlana.
Lovely, my brother. Enjoy it. Abdul Haq, question here. Please advise if it is normal for air cons in the car to have a smell after you switch it off.
Mawlana, it's not really normal, but yes, from time to time, something like this does happen. And that is due to what we refer to as condensation. sometimes you will get condensation at a low level, and that normally will dry up. But I would suggest that once you do switch your air conditioning system off, just run your fan for a little longer without the air conditioning system. That would assist in drying up any condensation that would be within the on the system itself. The other reason why that happens is sometimes due to leaves and stuff like that. I remember on the older vehicles, you had a lot of people think that the vehicle is leaking water. But in towards the middle of the vehicle, where the gearbox is situated, most of the times you have there is a little drain there for the condensation water to escape from. And that clogs up, and with the result, the water collects in there. And what happens is you get a type of a fungi that actually grows in there. And that fungi is where the smell comes from. Very, very easy to eliminate that. You do get a product that you actually do spray into the vents and run your fan, and that actually kills the fungi and takes away the smell as well, Munah.
Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, the brother says that he accidentally left the lights on, I think, Asr time today, and the battery is quite down. Does this mean that he's got to buy a new battery or simply just charge it up?
No, Munah, I would suggest he simply charges that up first. Very, very important, because last week my wife was actually telling me an incident where a woman tried to assist another woman as far as jump starting. I mean, look, I'm not picking on ladies, please. Sorry, I'm just using the incident. Jump starting a vehicle, that is my topic here. She tried to assist the other lady as far as the jump starting of the vehicle is concerned, and both the vehicles were BMWs. And unfortunately, I think more than likely they crossed their terminals, the earth with a positive and whatever the case may be there, and both of them threw the computers in the vehicle, in both the vehicles. And that is a very, very, very costly affair. So it's very important to see how you're jump-starting your vehicle. At the moment, jumper cables are readily available with what they call, they've got a little fuse in there that would fuse up if you made a mistake. The other thing is also there are these little battery packs that you can buy. Very, very handy to keep in the vehicle. It's just a little bigger than a cell phone. And, believe it or not, it actually feels like it does a miracle.
I think Brother Ali was talking about something coming to the country, a new gadget, very, very easy to use and simple, small as well. Is it the same one you're talking about?
Brother Ali is involved in something like that. And, it is exactly that. You get two or three different types. I mean, look, for Morana, I don't know how much, but I think they're roughly in the region of about 800 rand.
Yeah, I believe so, Jay.
But it's well worth it having one of those in your vehicle. And obviously, it's very simple. We're looking at positive and negative on a battery, the plus is always positive. There is a sign on the battery itself. You will find a plus somewhere. That's a sign for positive. And the minus is a negative sign. So, it's rather simple. And more than likely, all of these are in the positive terminals would be in a reddish color. So you would notice the red color, and you would look for the plus, and you'd connect that to there. And obviously, as far as the vehicles are concerned, the black is what we refer to as the negative. So very, very simple, just take that 2 minutes more or 10 seconds more to look at the terminals, make sure you are doing the right thing before you're going to blow up your vehicle or your computer systems, because these things are rather costly and expensive. These things are meant not to take opposite polarity, first of all, and secondly, they're not meant to take a full 12 volts, because this is now, you know, we refer to it as filtered power, which goes through a system where it is reduced to the control units and the modules and the computers in the vehicle, and with the result, that is why you cannot just connect it anyhow. It will burn up your computers and your modules and things like that, and those things are very, very, very expensive. So just take a little bit of precaution, check it out properly. You know, otherwise, if possible, rather get somebody who knows something, ask them to assist you. I know it's difficult in today's times to get just anybody and everybody to assist you, but I'm sure, you know, if you can't find anybody to assist you, just make sure you are doing the right thing before you blow up those computers and things like that. But as far as the brother is concerned, yes, I suppose, you know, if he does the jump start correctly, once the vehicle is started up, you know, maybe around the block or so, and yeah, the battery should be back and going.
Mm. Question via SMS saying, Assalamu alaikum, the battery of my iX35 is keep running down. Please advise. And another SMS coming through, where is Brother Adil? Inshallah, Adil will be back with us next week, hopefully. Jeep. The battery of my iX35 is keep running down. Please advise of the hack.
Gee, Marana, look, there are a couple of culprits that could be, you know, possible causes on that vehicle. Sometimes it's maybe some wire that is shorting somewhere. You know, that is what's actually draining the battery power from there. The starter itself could be draining power from your battery. You know, for example, if you look at your glove compartment or your boot sometime, because the glove compartment is closed and the light is on inside, you will not notice it, and with the result, that will eventually, yes, it will help run your battery down. So very similar with the boot light as well. Once your boot is closed and you don't notice the light is on, you can run your battery down there as well. The other thing that we did find a couple of times, we're not blaming any sort of you know, company or anything like that, but you know, the tracker sometimes does affect you know, vehicles as far as losing you know, or battery running down. So yeah, you know, I would suggest go take it into an auto electrician, let him have a proper look at it, because sometimes these problems are rather difficult to find and would take some time to actually find. The other thing the brother could do, you know, just a very, very simple test, is if he's parking his vehicle in a garage, all you got to do is at night disconnect the battery terminals, first of all, close the car up, everything, and the next morning before, well, obviously when you get to the car, put the terminals back on, start the vehicle up. If it starts, then you know, obviously your battery itself is holding power. If that, if the battery is holding power, then you're fine with that. Then you've got to look at, you know, where you actually have a short in your system. Something is consuming we call it current draw. Something is drawing current out there, and obviously you're losing power on your battery. So yeah, take the battery terminals off, leave it overnight. The next morning, put the terminals on. If it doesn't start then, you know the battery is not holding power.
Question, what is the easiest way to see whether your wheel bearings are good or not? Dulhak, can you grasp the tire at the 12 and 6 o'clock position and maybe just attempt to rock the tire? If you feel any play, there's a sign that the bearings are loose and needs to be replaced. Dulhak?
Look, Mulana, that would be, that's very, very correct. You can actually jack the vehicle up one wheel.
Yeah.
And that would determine or ascertain whether you have play in the bearing. But it won't necessarily tell you to replace your bearings. But yeah, necessarily, as far as the bearing is concerned, what you can then do is rotate the tire by hand, and you will actually hear it being a little bit on the rough side. Mm. And that is when you know you're going to replace the bearing itself. But the one at 6 o'clock, yes, you can hold it at 6 o'clock and try and move the tire a little bit. And if you feel that play, obviously you need wheel bearing adjustment first. And if that eliminates the noise, then obviously there is a very special way of actually adjusting the wheel bearing play, because you don't want to over tighten it either. For example, we have that question on your front wheel drives, especially the Mazdas and things like that, where the guys over tighten the wheel bearing and the bearings don't last that long. So it's important you get somebody who knows how to do it properly. You know, I can tell you on air, but it's not going to help much. You know, I would suggest rather you get a professional to have a look at it. And yeah, as I said, rotate the tire. If you sort of hear an out of the ordinary noise, when I say out of the ordinary, it's almost like a hissing, growling sound that you would hear from the bearing itself. If the bearings need replacing as well, what happens is when you're driving the vehicle, and you'll not notice, you know, on a straight line, you find that now you've got this sort of humming sound coming from the vehicle. And as you're coming around a bend, you know, and you find now that the sound is altering, then you would know that this is to do with the wheel bearing. But if you go around the bend and the sound remains the same, then it's got, you know, it could be even your tire pattern or your the way your tire is wearing, that could also create that sort of wheel bearing sound. And then obviously the other major culprit, a lot of people come to us, you know, on the way to Pretoria or wherever, when they drive on the concrete highway, and you get this high pitched humming sound, and that is the road surface.
JazakAllah. Different calipers, the brother says he believes there are two or three different types of calipers. He was told he should go for the floating caliper. What is a floating caliper, Abdulhaq?
Yeah, a floating caliper, very, very simple. Basically what it is on the caliper itself, all right, you have a mount of the caliper which is mounted onto the stub axle, and that is obviously mounted solidly on there. A floating caliper is then you have pins from the mount of the caliper going into the caliper, which would allow free movement on the thing. So basically your caliper is not totally stuck on or bolted on tightly onto the other parts where your piston of the caliper and everything else is. That component, that's why they call it floating, because it has a freedom of movement on pins. And these pins need to be lubricated regularly, because we do find from time to time, guys go somewhere and there's a Peter or a Paul down the road. He replaces the brake pads, and where the actual floating pins for the caliper is, they throw that little rubber grommet away, and end result you get when you're driving through water or dust, it all collects in there, and you what we call a seizure on the floating caliper. What I suggest is every time brake pads are done, make sure that the caliper is actually moving freely on those pins. And because it moves freely on those pins, it is called a floating caliper. And if it seizes in some way, you'll find that more than likely your one brake pad on the wheel, on that particular wheel, would wear down much quicker than the other brake pad. For example, your outer brake pad might wear out quicker than your inner brake pad. And, you know, when you take out your brake pad and now you're confused, you know, the brake pad is supposed to be worn equally, and now you find that the one brake pad is worn more than the other brake pad, and that is on a floating caliper due to seizure of the actual float on the pin.
All right. Abdulhaq, JazakAllah for the program. All the best, inshallah, my brother. Allah willing, we talk next week.
Inshallah, it's only a pleasure, Marana. JazakAllah for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah, I will remember you when I catch that big bass tomorrow, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah, my brother. JazakAllah. Yes, there's also reports coming through, Allahu A'lam, that Water and Sanitation Minister Mvula Makonyana, I read some reports earlier today, in fact, in the last 15-20 minutes, many other websites saying that the Water and Sanitation Minister Mvula Makonyana says Gauteng residents can expect more stringent regulations in the near future, and he's been giving, you know, feedback following, she's been giving some feedback following the meeting with all 9 water boards in South Africa. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but I think what's going to happen is from Monday, the city of Ekurhuleni will implement stricter water saving measures. They say by cutting supply between 9 o'clock at night and 5 a.m. daily. This is what's going to be happening. Allahu alam. This is what they say, that the city of Ekurhuleni from Monday will implement stricter water saving measures by cutting supply between 9 p.m. and 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, quite a bit of stringent regulations regarding the water in the future. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us beneficial rain, inshallah. Jalisas, make lots and lots of dua for rain. Ask the elderly, ask the kids to make dua, inshallah. Let us make a lot of istighfar as well. Istighfar, barakati, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, istaghfiru rabbakum, innahu kana ghaffara. Seek repentance from you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true repentance, yursiri samaa alaykum idrara. And in return, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will send abundance of rain. So regarding this, make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of istighfar, inshallah. Allahumma sqina ghaytham mughitha hani'an mari'an muri'a nafi'an ghayra dhadin 'ajilan ghayra ajil. Allahumma sqina al-ghaytha wa la taj'alna min al-qanitin. Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a, Allahumma sqi baraka wa bahaimak wa anshur rahmatak wa ahya baladak al-mayt. 5 to 8, we are Tune Trade Islam International. We conclude the program from Sayyid Muhammad Kara, request for special du'as. Enjoy the weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.